is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
New World Report. We go immediately to the news from Paraguay. A 7.5 million people in midst of Brazil to Argentina to Uruguay. But the vote these last days is said to be very close, except the results are not. So I welcome Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil, to comment on what we know so far of the election in Paraguay, where there does not seem as of yet to be any protests, one side or the other saying the vote was unacceptable. There was some finagling of the final vote. The headline reads, Paraguay's President-elect Santiago Piña, puppet or pragmatist, this is Reuters, lead. Paraguay's President-elect, a clean-cut former central bank director, will need all his wits and cool to steer the South American nation through economic headwinds, hurting voters and rising pressure from farmers to cut ties with Taiwan. The former International Monetary Fund economist, who was hand-picked by the powerful head of the country's dominant political force, the conservative Colorado Party, scored a strong victory in presidential elections on Sunday. Joseph, I start with you because I've come to believe that any election that doesn't have one side or the other declaring corruption and refusing to acknowledge the victory is a successful election. What is your measure of Paraguay going to the polls, emerging with a clean-cut international banker, and not protesting? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. No, this was a relatively peaceful election. I think a successful election in democratic standards. And it's also a very significant election in the sense that it breaks a couple trends. So just in way of context, Santiago Peña comes from the ruling political party, the Colorado Party in Paraguay. It's the party of the current president, Mario Abdo. And he comes from that same party. And he defeated Efrain Alegre, who comes from the Liberal Party, but by a healthy margin. We're talking about 15 points or more. So there really wasn't much contesting the results. And so the two trends that it breaks, I think they're significant to look at in terms of political trends in Latin America, is first, it stops this leftist wave that's been happening in Latin America over the last couple of years. Five out of the six most recent presidential elections in Latin America went to leftist leaders, most notably Brazil and Colombia last year. So this, you know, many people have been commenting about this. We've commented about it on the show, that there's this new pink tide, so to speak, that's waving through Latin America. Well, if that was the case, it hasn't taken into 2023. So the first major presidential election in 2023 in Latin America, Paraguay, went to a center-right candidate, a pro-business candidate, a pro-U.S. candidate, a pro-Taiwan candidate, who's going to be now the president of the country. And the second trend is that it breaks that sort of anti-incumbent, anti-establishment trend. So beside the just presidential elections, 15 of the last elections in general, including legislative elections, have gone to opposition members inside Latin America. And this is really a trend that you see during the pandemic, where pretty much around the world, there's kind of a vote to punish whoever was in power throughout the pandemic. So that is another trend that's been broken because Santiago Peña comes from the Colorado Party, which, as I mentioned, was the same party that's ruling Paraguay today. So what does this mean? I think it means it's kind of a win for democracy inside Paraguay. As you mentioned, there wasn't a lot of protests or disorder or disruption, but there's some interesting parts that come out of the election as well. One of the most notable is there was a third candidate that came in. He came in third, but he came in really high. Like the losing candidate, Efrain Alegre, had 27%. The third candidate had 23%. It's a guy named Paraguayo Cubas, who ran as an independent. And that was really telling because that could change the political makeup of the country. The country's normally has been these two major political parties, Liberal and Conservative, Colorado Party. And now you have this third way, which may end up paying dividends into the future, but we'll see. So all in all, it's a success for Paraguay. And I think it's interesting that it broke these big trends that were happening in the region.
Ernesto, your measure of Paraguay in the story of Latin American, South American prosperity. Is it a critical factor or is this a marginal country?
Well, it is a critical factor because it's critical for two big countries, which are Brazil and Argentina. And Paraguay today is a cornerstone for fighting organized crime or for helping organized crime if the political currents that favor organized crime were to win there. Fortunately, it's not the case. So, of course, Paraguay alone cannot make the difference, but at least we ensure that this key country for this key issue in Latin America doesn't go into the wrong hands. One interesting aspect, I think, is some sort of continuation of the mandate of Mario Abdo. They don't have a re-election in Paraguay, if I'm not mistaken, so he could not run. But Mario Abdo, I think it was a great leader of Paraguay, a great leader of the Colorado Party, which now won again, because he's transitioning Paraguay from a system with a lot of corruption, a lot of crime inside the institutions, towards a much more modern and development-oriented country, but within some sort of liberal economy structure, with the alliances with everything that's democratic in the hemisphere. So I think this is very very hopeful for the region.
Taiwan, the People's Republic of China, the choice between the two. The Reuters report indicates that President-elect Peña will continue to support Taiwan. Is that a large determinative issue throughout Latin America, Ernesto?
Not very much so in the bigger countries, which already for many decades recognize the Peking regime. But I think it's a sign. It's a sign that China cannot run victory laps in Latin America anymore, or at least should stop there, or not go as bluntly forward with their campaign of basically taking over Latin America. So I think Paraguay, in this sense, will depend a lot on support from the U.S. And Taiwan, of course. But the U.S. should, I think the U.S. foreign policy should support this new Paraguayan government if they want to support Taiwan. But actually, I think everyone should support Taiwan now. And I'm not talking about changing recognition of Beijing to Taipei, but in the case of Brazil. But I think Taiwan is the frontier of freedom in the world right now. And the international community, even those who have relations with Beijing, should stand by Taiwan. And Paraguay is a good sign in that sense.
Ernesto points to terrorism and gangsters, but there's unfinished business in Paraguay. The assassination of the prosecutor Pecci when he was in Colombia for his honeymoon. The investigation tied it to a major gang in Brazil, but they were regarded by everyone as the gunman. The new election here, a new president, does this promise to reopen or advance that investigation? Since we know at the end of the trail comes the terrorism network, Hezbollah, Iran, Russia, Caracas, is there an intention to finish the job?
So it depends, John. So this, I think, is what that Reuters article was talking about when they mentioned that Santiago Peña, the president-elect of Paraguay, could be a proxy. They're referring to the former president of Paraguay, Horacio Cartes. So he's known to be as a disciple of Horacio Cartes. Horacio Cartes has been sanctioned by the Department of Treasury for his connections to illicit actors, some of which you're mentioning, also including Hezbollah. But also, he's the rival of the current president, Mario Abdo, whose vice president is also sanctioned by the Department of Treasury for having those same connections to Hezbollah. What does all that mean? That means Hezbollah has been so well entrenched inside Paraguay that whichever direction the elections go, they seem to always win out. And so what it's incumbent right now is that the new president, President-elect Santiago Peña, looks to break that tradition, meaning he looks to be his own presidency, not to listen to the advices or to the guidance from presidents of the past. I'm sure he can get informed from those political leaders, but he doesn't necessarily need to fall into someone's camp. And hence the term proxy. In the Colorado Party, there is a division. There's a division between the current president and the former president. He doesn't need to get involved in that division. And if Santiago Peña can become his own president, his own person with his own legacy and his own policies, then he has the chance to actually advance on very prominent things, investigations such as that of the assassination of Marcelo Pecci, something that I think that is needed not just for the judicial aspects, but is needed for the morale of the country so that they can realize that justice will be restored inside the country. That's been one of the criticisms of the Abdo government. So it is very important, but I think for him to be able to do what he needs to do, he's going to have to make sure he doesn't get caught up into the inner fighting of his own political party and some of the former presidents that are leading that conflict.
Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. We're headed to Havana, Cuba, where there's a conversation about terrorism that is puzzling. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.